Praise the Lord. I thank God for this opportunity to share from the Word of God. If you guys could open your Bibles with me to Matthew 24, verse 42. We're just going to look at one verse, but for our time today, we will be sitting in Matthew 24 for the whole time. So if someone could read that verse, Matthew 24, verse 42. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. Heavenly Father, I submit this time into your hands, God. Lord, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And Jesus, I ask you to prepare our hearts and our minds to hear what you're saying to us today. God, cover us. Lord, hide me behind the shadow of your cross, Lord Jesus, and all things be glorified. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I don't have much of a message today when it comes to this verse, but there's just one thing I really want to remind the church of that has been placed on my heart for this morning. So we have this verse that was read, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Church, if you take one thing away from the message today is this: Christ is coming back. I feel so strongly that is what Jesus wanted me to say this morning is, I am coming back, and dare I say, I am coming back soon. Not me, Jesus is coming back soon. Revelation 22 verse 20 says, "Surely I am coming soon." And the man of God who wrote that book, the Apostle John, said, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." He affirmed it in that way. So you might ask, how did we even get to Jesus saying this? So I want to give you some context to what is happening here in John 24. So the apostles actually asked, the disciples asked Jesus this question. He asks them, "What will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age?" They ask this question because at the end of chapter 23, Jesus laments over the destruction of Jerusalem. And at the beginning of chapter 24, he actually prophesies that the temple will be destroyed. We see this prophecy come to be in AD 70 due to some Jewish rebellion that was happening. Rome came and flattened Jerusalem. They burned the place to the ground, and everything happened exactly as Jesus said it would happen. Not one stone was still on another. Everything was turned over, and the temple was destroyed. So when the disciples hear this prophecy, their minds ring to Babylon. When Jerusalem was destroyed then, when Babylon came and took everyone to exile. So when they hear the destruction of the temple, they think, oh man, if the temple is going to be destructed, that means this is the end. They unknowingly ask two questions. They ask, when will this happen to the temple? But they also ask, when will the end come? And Jesus addresses this all in chapter 24. He starts here. He starts and he says in verse 4 of 24, he says, "See that no one leads you astray." And church, today with this reminder of that Jesus is coming soon, he's also saying, see that no one leads you astray in this matter. Why? Think about during COVID, how many people were saying, oh yeah, Jesus is coming soon. Right? Like people thought the world was ending and they thought, okay, Jesus is coming now in 2020 because of that. And that's not the first time that has happened in history. It has happened so many times in the past. I'll give you some names. If anyone knows William Miller in 1844, he's actually from him, the Seventh-day Adventist movement was birthed. He made some predictions, and people waited expectantly, and nothing happened. If you think also, another name, Charles Russell, from him, a lot of the Jehovah's Witness movement was birthed from him, and he made predictions, and nothing happened. Jesus is saying, do not be led astray. They made these predictions because they saw wars, rumors of wars. They saw famine and these things happening. But Jesus himself says that these are just the beginning. These are just the birth pains, in verse 8, he says. But in verse 9 onwards, we get some more hints to know, get an idea of when is Christ returning. He says things like, Jesus says, "And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold." And there's one thing here that that sticks out to me in verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, actually, a lot of mission organizations take this verse as their mission statement. They believe, okay, if we can take the gospel by God's power empowerment to all the ends of the world, we will see the end come. We will usher in God's, Christ's return. Some of you might say, oh, the gospel has made it to many nations. It came to Canada. It came to India. It's been in India. It's been in Syria. A lot of these mission organizations actually say that there are many people groups and languages where the Bible has not been translated into yet. There are many places where the gospel has not reached yet, and it's the final push, final frontier. How many of you believe Christ will come in your lifetime? Amen. I believe. If no one will say, I believe that I will see Christ return. 2025 is here. We are 1 year closer, right? And I wait expectantly. Easy for me to say, right? Throughout all of history, people have believed that Christ would come in their lifetime. Oh, how I hope that I would be given that great opportunity to see it while I walk on this earth. So, my goal here today is not to give you all these hints on when Christ is coming. I want you to go home and read Matthew 24 and read Revelation and read Daniel, and I want you guys to connect all the dots yourself. I am not taking that endeavor this morning. But I want to highlight just this, when Jesus, the main point that Jesus is saying that he is coming soon. Jesus says that we do not know the hour, we do not know the day. But he mentions in verse 32 that we can know some things about the season. He says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. And Jesus is speaking of a fig tree because that is the context in which his disciples would have been able to better understand. Think about it this way. You guys might have some plants or some trees in your backyard. In our backyard, we had two cherry trees. One of them was not producing fruit, so we cut it down. But when the springtime comes, the flowers begin to blossom, right? So when the winter is not even done yet, you start to see the flowers come out. And you know, okay, winter is ending and spring is coming soon. In the same way, Jesus is saying, we can see the signs that mark the season of his coming. We can see these signs. Although we do not know the day, we will see the signs of the season. No one knows about that day or hour, not the angels, not even the Son, but the Father in heaven knows. And right now, Jesus is preparing a place for us. We are his bride. He is the bridegroom. He has gone to prepare a home for us. And when the Father deems it ready, he will say, go collect your bride. And Jesus tells us some more clues about that season when he comes. He says, it'll be as the times of Noah. In verse 38, I'm reading, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And when Jesus returns, it'll be just like the days of Noah. Yes, it will be sinful, but there will be an utter disregard for God and for his return. People will live in the flesh and be unaware of his return and who he is. That is the reality that Jesus is saying when he returns. Verse 39, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Thus, in 24 verse 42, we come to our main focus verse. Jesus is calling his disciples to stay awake, for we do not know on what day the Lord is coming. It says what day your Lord is coming. So everyone here, our Lord, we do not know what that day is. And Jesus provides another example, many examples. I'm not going to look at all of them, but he provides another example to drive home his point in what he's trying to say. Verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Jesus is providing an example here. Let me contextualize it for us today. Let me take someone for an example. Who do I take? Oh, I'll take Renoy Chin. as an example. Let's say Renoy-shin woke up tomorrow morning, he had a note on his door. It said, "Dear Renoy Matthew, I am very fond of your 2016 Subaru White Forester, and I like it very much. I'm writing to let you know that on Wednesday, I'm coming to pick it up. Rest assured, by the time you wake up, it will be gone." What should Renoy-shin do? He should take every measure to make sure his car is unable to be stolen, make sure it's in the garage. He might even stay awake all night. He doesn't know what time the robber's coming, but he knows it'll be Wednesday night, so he's going to stay awake all night. Jesus is giving this example to us because he's saying in the same way, we have to stay awake. We have to be awake because although we do not know the exact time, we can know the season, and we have to be awake when Jesus comes so we're not caught off guard. Renoy-shin would not sleep. No one would sleep if that was any of us. In the same way, Christ is calling us to be awake. Similarly, if there was a guest that was coming to your home, would you not prepare all things so that things are ready when they come? If Bob Renoy-shin told me tomorrow he's coming to my house, but he didn't tell me what time, that would be a little hard. But I would make sure by Monday morning the house is ready, and I will wait every hour expectantly for him to come so that when he comes I can serve him. It's the same idea as we await Christ's return. I want to tell you another story. There was a man, his name is Edgar C. Wisnot. In 1988. Anyone know that name, Edgar Wisnot? Noah, you know him. Awesome. Edgar C. Wisnot. In 1988, he penned a book. It is called this, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. He worked for NASA. He was really good at crunching numbers and making all his predictions. So he drew some conclusions and said that Jesus will come in 1988 between September 11th and September 13th. He famously stated, "Only if the Bible is in error am I wrong." And I say that to every preacher in town. That's what he said. So what happened? This book actually had such a strong grip on the evangelical community. Many people believed. Many people gave up on their dreams. Many people stopped their life plans. They gave up what they had. They decided people were going to get married. They decided, let's not get married if Jesus is coming back. People were married. They said, let's not have children if Jesus is coming back. And they canceled all their life plans. What happened in the end? That day rolled around. Nothing happened. And people were so disappointed. It is very sad. Many people actually fell away from the faith because of that book. But I think there is a lesson we can learn from those people who made those life changes based on that reality they believed in. Let's say hypothetically, come with me to hypothetical land. We will think for a moment. Let's say you knew with such certainty that Jesus was returning at the end of this year. December 31st, 2025, somehow you knew so strongly in your heart. My question to you, church, what would you do different? What would you change in your life? What life changes would you make? Let's think for one moment. If you knew, things are coming to my mind, what I would do, what I would change. Let's say, forget that, let's say, next Sunday, you knew with certainty that Christ was returning. What would you do this week? Or what would you change in your life to prepare for Christ's return? Perhaps you would finally start consistently reading your Bible. Perhaps maybe for this week, you would wake up every morning at 7 a.m. and pray. Maybe you would finally be reconciled with that person who wronged you many years ago. Maybe you would be more generous with your money and give to the poor, the widow, the orphan. Perhaps finally you would share the gospel with that one person in your life who is going to die without knowing who Christ Jesus is and spend eternity separated from him. You see, in 1988, those men and women, they made a drastic change in their life because they believed so strongly. They were convinced that Jesus' return was imminent. They laid down their desires, their wants, and their worries in light of Christ's coming kingdom. I'm not telling you not to have a plan. I'm not telling you not to get married. I'm not telling you not to have children or not to think ahead, not to invest in an RESP for your children, not to save money. That's not what I'm saying. But Jesus is saying, live like I am coming back. Are we living like Christ is coming back? Does that reality grip us with such a strength that we are willing to reorient our lives to that reality that he is coming? To live daily that he is coming soon. Oh, how scary the thought, someone who calls themselves a Christian but lives like things are business as usual. Lacking zeal, lacking urgency, rather locked up with the flesh and ungodliness. They live deceived. They're deceived by the devil to believe that there's no hurry. They believe this lie that we have more time. What a scary thought. Church, if you take, I don't know if you take resolutions, but if you take any resolution in 2025, live daily, live 2025 as if Christ is returning this year. And then if he doesn't return this year, live the next year like that. Live the next year like that. And walk every single day on this earth as if he is coming back. Because I tell you, that will change how you live. That will change your priorities. That will change your goal and your long-term vision. Live like he is coming back. We need that urgency. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And maybe someone here is in that space today. Know that Christ is coming soon. And if you're not right with God, he is patient with you. He is waiting for you. He is calling you to come, to come. Things are moving according to God's timetable, not our timetable. God is not slow in his return. He said he'll come quickly. The word quickly there in Revelation is talking about he's going to come without any unnecessary delay. So everything is planned according to his purpose. He will come. He will come. My sermon is coming to a close, and there's so much more to say. But I want to leave you with three things just to think about. How can you be ready? How can you look forward to the kingdom? How can you be ready when Christ comes? Three steps. First one is to look expectantly. Look expectantly to the kingdom. Look expectantly to eternity. Look expectantly to the gospel. Store up your treasure in heaven, not on earth. That will help you be ready. Second thing, expect suffering. Jesus says it in the beginning of chapter 24, that when his coming is near, suffering will come. Don't be surprised. Jesus tells you so you won't be surprised. Expect suffering. And lastly, serve faithfully. Be found faithful and obedient when Christ returns. If you go home and you read the story of the 10 virgins, we all know this. If you read the parable of the talents, we all know this. But we want to be living a life that when Christ comes, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Those three things as we await Christ's return. Look expectantly, store up your treasure in heaven. Expect suffering to come as you stand for his name. And three, serve faithfully, be found faithful and obedient. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, God. Oh, Lord. I pray for Carolina Pentecostal Church. Lord God, that we would be so grasped by this truth that you are returning. Lord God, that the gospel will captivate us, Lord Jesus, that we would reorient our lives around you. That we would finally do what you call us to. That we would get right with you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we expectantly wait. Lord, you are coming quickly. Let our church be a church that says, amen, Lord, come quickly. That not one would be lost. That not one would be lagging behind. Dear Jesus, we look to you. We expectantly await you. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I now invite all the Sunday school students to come up for the song and for the memory verses.